precise discourse of Salam Tali, which discusses muhasaba in nafs, accounting and reckoning oneself. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. You often hear this, that take stock of yourself before you'll be called for reckoning. You take stock of yourself. There are several incidents of taking stock. There are three or four murids of Hazrat Maula Gangohi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, and the incidents about muhasaba, about taking stock of oneself. As for Muhammad Mawlana, Muhammad Hassan, perhaps, and towards the end of his life, he couldn't walk, so people used to carry him around. This was now after India had got independence, and the English were removed from India. So he wrote up a letter to Maulana that before you were fighting against these people, so it was permissible for you as a mujahid to dye your beard, right? In certain situations, just to instill fear into the heart of the enemy, it is permissible to die. You are at war, you are in jihad, so there are certain things that are permissible. So he was at war with them, and at that time it was permissible for you to dye your beard black. But now these people are expelled, they are no more here, so your war doesn't continue any longer. Now you should stop dying your beard. So Mawlana's reply went, I received your letter, I will follow your instructions. Mawlana was at that time the most superior, senior alim in the whole of India. The whole of India, Pakistan, all used to be respecting him. He is an ordinary officer. And he received a letter, and Mawlana said, no, I will respect your command. And immediately Mawlana left. Although Mawlana could have said there are some explanations to it that allow the dyeing of the beard, but he didn't go in that direction, taking stock of yourself. This is another incident of the same Hafiz Muhammad Hassan. Madani Sahib Rahmatullah is Dastarkhan. Up till now there is some Dastarkhan going on, perhaps up till the time of year, I don't know now. But we'll get at least a good number of people coming for the breakfast or for the lunch. Sometimes 100, 200, it's like a daily routine, you see. Mawlana will keep the rotis by him, and there would be round plates. Tash, they call it, big long, big round trays, and people will be eating around that. Mawlana is being careful, everybody wants roti. According to the need, he will pass on the rotis. You see, nobody is short of roti and he'll be passing it on. So the one day there was some person that was ill. Food was prepared for him separately. So now there are two varieties. So this Muhammad Hassan, he says to Mawlana, he says, from now onwards, there's going to be either the emulating of the Sunnah or the emulating of the nafs, one of the two. Either it's going to be emulating the Sunnah or emulating the nafs. So one of the two or more varieties, not against the Sunnah. There are hadiths where you find there are varieties. Khajur and cucumber is a variety. The hadith it comes. So Muawiyah could have given an explanation that what you are saying is not right. Muawiyah didn't go that way. I said, the answer Muawiyah gave, okay, where do you find me emulating the Sunnah? I am such a worthless person. Where do you find me? Main toh pet ka gada hoon. I am just an ass of the stomach. I am just worried about the stomach. Now where is Murana? And when it comes to his own, he comes to his stock of himself, then there is so much of control, so much of strictness in that respect. Another buzug. Muftisabrahman met him once. So he asked him, what are you studying? So he said, yes, I'm studying Bukhari, Tirmizi, etc. So do you make the taqrar for it as well? The taqrar is revision, repetition, right? So do you make a revision for this as well? Do you revise your lessons? So he says, Musa says that my system is this, my method is this. Whatever kitabs I'm studying, I've studied the previous year, right? Whatever kitabs I've studied the previous year, I revise them the current year. If I've been studying Mishkat in the previous year, then the current year I revise these kitabs. So this Hafiz Hasan Shah, he was excited at this. Said, then you are worthy of your hands being kissed. If you're revising like this, then there was one gathering where this Hafiz Hasan was present with Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali tried to kiss his feet, looking at his piety and looking at his position. So he didn't allow that. So some Madani Sahib Rahmatullah kissed his hand. So he says to Mawlana, okay, Mawlana, why do you disgrace me like this? Mawlana says, you are insulting me. You are not even allowing me to kiss your hands. You are insulting me. I am not causing the disgrace. That is a man of your position and you don't have to do this much. So anyway, they were both going to the masjid and Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah and he was a little behind. So when they reached up to the masjid, Mawlana stepped into the masjid. He took Mawlana's shoes and he kissed the shoe of Mawlana. Mawlana says, Hasan says, O Allah, that you be a witness. This man had kissed my hands and in lieu of that, I have kissed his shoes. So both knew the position of each other, then the type of respect they had accorded to one another. Right. This same Hafiz Hasan, Ahmad Hasan Sahib, or Hasan Shah Sahib, rahmatullahi, it's another incident of his. In Kandla, there are three brothers, Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib, Mawlana Iftikhar Sahib, and Andrew, was it? Huh? Mawlana Izhar Sahib. I think we may have seen all three. Mawlana Izhar Sahib, he was the senior most in the Merkaz after Hazrat Imam Sahib, Mawlana Izhar Sahib. Mawlana Iftikhar Sahib, well, I have seen him. We have seen all of us seen him, inshallah, that year that we went. And the third brother was Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib. So, this same Hafiz Hasan Shah Sahib, he received an invitation from Calcutta about laying a foundation perhaps of a masjid or something, and he is invited to come there. So anyway, he told Muhammad Hisham, why don't you accompany me on this journey? So Muhammad was free at the time, he accompanied him. And this Hafiz Hasan Shah Sahib, he appointed Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib, who was young, very young, as the Amir. Now they are travelling, when they came up to Calcutta, so this Hafiz Hasan had a severe bout of diarrhea. He was totally dehydrated, completely dehydrated. And here, he's regular in his tahajjud, 1.5-2 hours would go just in his tahajjud. So Mawlana Ihtisham saw this. Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib says, see, the Amir that you have appointed is commanding you that you don't get up for tahajjud tomorrow morning. So Hafiz Hasan kept quiet. He didn't say yes, no, nothing. Now the following morning, and it's just about 1 hour left for tahajjud to expire, Subah Sadiq to end, he hears someone moving his feet. He gets up in a fright. What happened? So he sees that Hafiz Hasan is crying on him profusely. So he says, it's 57 years that I've taken bayat at the hands of Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, and ever since, I haven't missed out on my tahajjud namaz. And you, my Amir, and you have instructed that I don't get up for tahajjud, and I have to obey you to disrespect the Amir is a big offense. You asked me not to get up. So I ask you, the respect that you have for Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, I ask you, I beg you, give me the permission. Mawlana got a shock. He said, hey, Mawlana, do whatever you want. Right. We did this just for your convenience, but you carry on. See, all this, hisab, you're taking stock of yourself. One is taking an account of himself. Hasan, to Hasan. It's a very, very important aspect. Right? To cover up for oneself and to look for reason for oneself is quite easy, not difficult. But what is to be seen is that this reasoning and explanation that we make up for ourselves, will it hold in the presence of Allah Ta'ala? Yeah, it will carry on. It will work very fine. We put up a reason here, give an explanation here, an explanation there. It can work. People don't know what is concealed within the heart. Nobody knows. Right? But by Allah Ta'ala, will this same explanation, will it hold? That is what is needed to be seen. So anyway, they got to the foundation site, and that Hafiz Hasan Sahib, he himself jumped into the pit, into those trenches, for the foundation. So this Mawlana Ihtisham Sahib said, I am young, then why didn't you allow me to get into the foundation and pour the, get into the trench and pour the foundation? So this Hafiz Hasan says, yes, I was thinking about this, I was contemplating about this. Then I thought, that these trenches are a little bit deep. If you jump in, if you hurt, then it won't be good, it won't be right, because you are still young, and you should be serving Deen, you know. You should be serving Deen, you are still young. I am old now, on my way out, so if I break a limb or something, one of those things, but you mustn't get hurt. You see that hisab. Anyway, thereafter, the host that hosted them, he offered Hafiz Hasan 950 rupees. And Hafiz Hasan rejected that. Then they went to the masjid. At the masjid, one person offered 15 rupees. So Hafiz Hasan rejected the 950 and he accepted the 15. That 15 that he accepted, he took 7.5 and he gave that 7.5 to Mawla Ihtisham. So Mawla Ihtisham is asking about that. 950 you rejected and this 15 you accepted. What is the reasoning for that? So he says that I was owing someone 950 rupees, right? And when this invitation came from Calcutta, so a thought passed my mind. The thought that passed my mind was that now I made dua that Allah Ta'ala must settle my debt. Right? I had made dua that Allah Ta'ala must settle my debt. And when this invitation came, I thought as much, okay, Allah Ta'ala is arranging for the payment of my debt. Right? Now this is type of an ishraf. Ishraf is where you aren't asking. Right? But you desire for something from someone. You desire that he must give you something. So there are sophisticated ways of doing it. One is do it in an open way, you know. By I need 50 rupees. Right? But there are other discreet ways of asking. One friend of mine, he comes here sometimes. This is one person comes to him and people have got very sophisticated ways. So he tells this friend of mine, Mala, I don't know when last I ate meat. He'll come after a week again, I don't know when last I ate meat. So now obviously anybody hears that, they feel sorry for me. Uske ghar mein toh gosh bhi nahi, doesn't have any. So every week, same thing, I don't know when last I ate meat. So they are very strange and sophisticated ways to ask, you know. One is straightforward, you ask the person straight. That's also wrong to ask, right? And one is to be desirous. Ishraf, right? In all these stories, what's been shown here is the aspect of hisab, muhasaba. Take stock of yourself. At every step, every situation, any deal, anything, you are taking stock of yourself. Okay. Maybe you don't see too much of amal al-zahir, too much of ibadat, maybe you do not see. But all the time they are taking stock of themselves. Okay. The line or not. We did this right or we didn't do it right. How do you do it? How are we supposed to be doing it? So that concern is on the top of the mind all the time. There isn't a moment where they aren't taking stock of themselves. So people have different ways, like I say, different, you know, ways to express the desire of the heart. This all comes under ishraf. Like begging is not permissible, then this ishraf is also not permissible. And you may get something from ishraf, but then there's no barakat in it. Sometimes it happens like this. I said, hey, I want to go for Umrah, man. I want to go for Umrah. Now, I'm mentioning this to someone. So I said, you must go. Now, take. The way I would say, the way I'm pining to go to Medina, this heart is there now. So these are all very discreet ways, very, very fine lines. I think what we need to understand is Allah knows all what's going on, all the tricks in the heart, Allah knows about it. You can't deceive Allah Ta'ala. It's not that you will get away. Allah knows exactly. Allah knows. Heart's concern. example, someone is eating something, right? Right. It happens in India, right? So now there'll be two, three students be eating, right? So the one person will be passing by, say, hey. He's seeing it now, now they're eating, so he can't ask direct, you see? So at a later, some other time, he will ask, hey, but you know that ghee you got, you know, pot bandar ghee, in India at the time it was quite popular, pot bandar ghee, very, very popular. So, hey, that ghee, is excellent ghee you got, man. What you paid for it? So this one will say, no, man, you know, we make it at home, you know. India, up to recently, they used to make their own ghee. People had, everybody has, in the villages, everybody has two, three buffaloes, and then they prepare their own ghee. So they said, no, no, we prepare it at home. Don't worry, the next time I come from home, I'll get some for you as well. So it's a very discreet, very, very discreet way of asking. Same thing, you're asking in a very discreet way. So Allah Pak knows about it. If you ask openly or you ask discreetly, Allah Pak knows. And then when this happens, there is no barakah. You may get the thing that you are desirous of, but really it's minus that barakah, you know. Hamara kaam chalta hai barakah. When you get our works going, it goes because of barakah, not because of abundance. Barakat, the thing that brings barakat, like I was speaking last night, is the purity of the heart. What is the state of the heart? The purer the state of the heart, the greater the barakat. See, Ibrahim alayhi salam is one out, right? He's one person. And his wife, Hajira, and his wife and husband, infant child. Now look at the degree of sincerity. The degree of sincerity and Allah Ta'ala honors them with finding the Zamzam well, right? They were the first, they were the ones to find that Zamzam well, right? But now what was this? This was all pioneered with sincerity. Here, Hajira alayhi salam is wanting to know, now, are you going to just leave me alone here? So, well, this is a command of Allah Ta'ala. Not the incident, this is a command of Allah Ta'ala. So she is quite comfortable that when it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, then let it be, Allah Ta'ala will take care. So her heart is also by Allah Ta'ala. And her husband Ibrahim alayhi salam, his heart is with Allah Ta'ala as well. There's nobody, no publicity. Who's going to see that? Nobody's going to see. There's nobody to see. It's just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that this is being done. Who doesn't like an infant child? He's still feeding still. He's still feeding and he has to be forsaken in this land here. Apparently there is no means of survival. There's no apparent and visible means of survival. Because it's a barren land, no cultivation, no human habitation, nothing. So there's nothing for the continuity of livelihood here, but it is just built on sincerity, nothing else. So the color of the sincerity shows that up to this day, you find that the Zamzam is flourishing. I think in an average over 5 million liters going out from there every day. 5 million is just a very, very small amount. In the Hajj and all that, I'm sure at least 50, 100 million must be pumped every day. But where it's coming from, and the type of satisfaction that you get in that water, you know. You put Zamzam water here, and you put any other water, you'll make it out. This is Zamzam water. Someone has got a taste for Zamzam, you can make it out that this is Zamzam and this is the other waters. And any other water cannot be compared with Zamzam. That's why they say, been used to wash the Mubarak heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was a Zamzam water that was used to wash the Mubarak heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there can't be a water that is more Mubarak. But then they say, no, there is another water that was even more Mubarak than the Zamzam water. It was that water that gushed from the very fingers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So many Sahaba Ikram had drunk. From his fingers, there is one hadith where the water had gushed from his fingers. So it's coming right from his fingers, so obviously there can't be anything more blessed and more Mubarak than that water that came gushing from his fingers. Right. So this is that missing ingredient in our lives today, that we don't have that degree of sincerity. Right. In the past, this was the thing that was in the lives of people. They were very, very sincere of what they did. Maybe they were not so learned, and the knowledge was not so extensive. Right? But the little that they did, or the much that they did, they were absolutely sincere about it. So you will see, in the past, recent past, 40, 50 years ago, you'll find that the houses were very small, families were huge, and the income was very little. But they were running the homes very comfortably. There was happiness, there was muhabbat, and there was a free flowing. People coming, going, staying, right? And it was going on for a good many years. It was going on. And some of the reasons why people used to come and live, like someone is living in a more developed area, town, whatever. So in the rural areas, villages, they went to so many schools. And one cousin is living in the town, so everyone will come and board there. Or they will live there, and it will carry on. They won't even take any boarding. They will live there. 3-4 people will live. Now to keep one person in your home is like a burden. I think, hey, are we going to keep him now? It's a burden now. We got stuck up with this person here. You can't move. How do we continue with our lives? You must think now, you know, he's becoming a burden on us. How can he carry on living like this? 2 days is too much, you know. All our program is all upside down. Upset. So when there was sincerity, there was halal, and the hearts were good, clean. The homes were small, but the hearts were big. Everything was accommodated. See, the heart is like the haram, you know, haram. Haram and rahim have got one common property, the haram and the rahim. Both have got one common property. The haram got that property that if it's a 100,000 crowd, it will accommodate. If it's 5 million, it will accommodate. I say, what, 3 million, 4 million, the haram accommodates a crowd. Confined area, but it accommodates a crowd. And the same happens with the fetus of the woman. If it's one child, it will accommodate. If it's two, it will accommodate. Three, it will accommodate. So both have got one common property. So the homes were like that. When there was sincerity, there was honesty, and the hearts were clean, good. And in spite of the houses being small, you'll find that the clarity and the purity of the heart had created so much of barakat in that house. Right? There was so much of barakat, so much of goodness. And then apart from that, they're not even concerned about spacing children, family planning and spacing children. Right. Now you got 2 children, 3 children, bus karo bhai. What do you think? One half a sub got married here, a student. So now he's teaching somewhere. I think how many children you got? Said, 3 children. Said, why don't you increase? So half a sub is from India. He said, my father says, Indiani mother. It's not India this. And you just go on making children. So people's hearts have gone so small. So small. Yeah, what's going to happen? How are they going to live? How are they going to continue? And you just reflect slowly. Just reflect in the past a little bit. You find the man got 10 children, 12 children, everything running. Running well, everything running. How is running? So, there was two basic elements in that. One is the hearts were very clean and pure, right? And number two, their nazar, their gaze was on Allah Pak. Yeah, Allah Pak will do it. Allah Pak will make it happen. And mind you, the women also were much stronger. They were much stronger, they were doing much more hard work. I know this Bosch machine, all this Kenwood and all, may have started about the 60s. I can remember the time before that. How they making all the chutney and the stamping. Who's running? How they managed to run the homes then? Now they're not doing these things. So they still need that body stamina and strength. So what they do then, now they have to go to the gym now for the same thing. Same thing that they were doing at home free of charge. They're watering the chutney on side. One side they stamping the thing. Right. So all these things was happening. And the cars were not so freely available, so they had to go walking. Now they have to go, the women have to go jogging, right, to the streets, walking. Now, Muslim girls also, now, after Fajr, someplace you'll find. Three, four get together, three, four aunties. So I say, walk after Fajr. The whole street, they must go around. Yeah. Now, those aunties weren't doing all these things. But they were bringing healthy children. And now these aunties have got so big bodies and all that. But non-productive. It's a machine, right? But no production. So, this machine mein kya fayda hai? A woman should be like a machine, right? Productive. She produces. Then, you know, there's fulfillment. There is no production. The production line is closed down, shut down. Hey, this machine is no good, man. Yeah? Right. So she also feels fulfilled, you know, that, alright, I'm fulfilling the motherhood. I'm a woman. And what's my role in life? I am fulfilling that motherhood. So anyway, we are talking of this Israf. Last night also I spoke, by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, about the cleanliness of the heart. Why do we come here, you see? If we got the focus right, then we can move. But we haven't got the focus right. I explained about why in Amul Hasan Sabrafta, you see. There are three levels. One is the level of the intention. Like an architect, he does the sketching, right? The second level is a structural, right? The builder, contractor, all that, they will do the structure. And the third is the very life, the very essence, the very soul, right? Like you sketched out a madrasa, right? Then you built it, right? And thereafter the work that takes place in that madrasa, now that's the very soul. It's the very essence of that madrasa. If there is no work taking place in the madrasa, then you say, well, you are a building. Lekin, is imarat se kya fayda? What is the benefit of the building? But you got something working, then I say, no, at least it's fulfilling the function it was built for. So in deen, in a broader spectrum, in deen as well, there's three levels. One is the intention to do good, right? You have a good heart, good intention to. Then the second level is the structure of deen, right? You got a madrasa, then you got a maktab, right? You got some jihad going on. So you got different avenues of Islamic activity, some tabligh going on, some hafiz class going on. So different activities of Islamic work going on. Achieved in the khanqa, the purity, right, the goodness of intention, the trust in Allah Ta'ala, the nazar on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, through which all your works begin to flourish. Your works begin to flourish in proportion to how much your nazar is on Allah Ta'ala. Look at all the Islamic conquests, right, whether it was Badr, Uhud, whatever it was, right? And even after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? As long as the Sahaba Ikram's nazar was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you saw everything, victory coming their way. But when the nazar turned away, or people, when it turned away, or whenever it turned away, then you found that the assistance of Allah also moved away from them. Right? You had your nazar on Allah ta'ala, everything was working very fine, was working very well. Al-Mawla Sayyid Khan Sarrat was explaining once. We were with him in Madina Munawwar for 10-12 days, stayed in Masjid al-Nur, 1980 somewhere, 79-80. So he says that before in Madina Munawwara, there was an abundance of water underneath the ground. You just dig a little bit and you'll find water, nice fresh cool water coming out of the ground. And then the Hukumat made some arrangements for municipal water, etc. Now we don't see that water. Because initially people's nazar was on Allah Ta'ala. There was a problem, then they turned to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made that water available. Now, where is the nazar gone? You know, that Hukumat, municipal water will come. So when your nazar has changed, is turned from Allah Ta'ala to these things, then let it be like that then. One old man, seriously ill, you see. So Rasulullah was coming to pay him a visit. Nabi Sallam had given him some words of comfort. La ba'asat tahurun inshallah. Not to worry. Inshallah, it's just a purification process. You're coming, you are purified of your wrong, of your weaknesses. So he wasn't happy with this. This is La umma tafur to zero. Sheikh al-Kabir al-Kubur. He says, no, this is a flu that I've got, it's a fever that I've got, it's boiling within me. And this fever that I've got will eventually take this old man into the qabr. So Rasulullah said, then let it be then. Now, I'm giving you a comfort that you should have high hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should have aspirations in Allah ta'ala. But you have dashed your aspirations. You are depending on your brains. Let it be then. You don't want to have that confidence and that hope in Allah Ta'ala, and you want to have it in your brains and your intellect. Let it be then. So a Muslim's nazar is on Allah Ta'ala all the time. When we strive and we worked, then it was just the madad of Allah Ta'ala that helped us out. You look at anything as a madrasa or a jamaat or whatever. How it started off, infancy, small, little. Kasar in akhraja shat'ahu. How you start off? A single sprout, single stem that is sprouting out of the earth. Small, weak. And it's being hit from one side to the other. The storm, wind, all that, everything is hitting it from one side to the other. Kasar in akhraja shat'ahu. Fa'azarahu. Then gradually, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, then it builds up. The stem builds up. Becomes thick. Azar, it becomes strong. It strengthens and it becomes nice and thick. فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوْقِ. Then it can stand on its own. Before a small, very weak, very delicate stem that has sprouted off the earth. Then it strengthened. Then it became thick and can stand on its own. فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوْقِ. It's standing on its own trunk. Right? Dini works, they start off like this. Generally, they start off like this, small, weak. Right? The nazar is on Allah Ta'ala all the time. I tell you, what we are missing out today, the missing ingredient is the same thing. The heart is not right. And to the extent that we're supposed to be looking at Allah Ta'ala, we're not looking. So then how do you expect Allah Pak's assistance to fall? Hazrat Muhammad Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi was the second Amir of the Jamaat. In his childhood, there was no food for some occasions in Nizamuddin. I was a child, maybe 6-7 years of age, and so there's no food, and he saw that the flour can, perhaps. He said, alright, there's no flour, but I can scrape from the edges, from the walls of the tin, and make something for myself. So he scraped all that, and he was making it into a ball, added some water, whatever it was. In the meanwhile, Muhammad Ilyas Sabrahman came out, and he saw this. So his eyes swelled with tears. My child, what's happening? Obviously, human feelings for the son. There's nothing in the house. Right? You can imagine the type of constraint, difficulty. Yeah? Here you'll have all the food, everything. But if for 1-2 months the shop is not working, hey, Muhammad, make dua, win sakrats. Yeah? Only 1-2 months if the shop is not working well, win sakrats. Already sakrats. Here, khane ka thikana nahi, bhai. Khane ka thikana nahi. Seen this, when he seen this, he went inside and he went to sajda, cried to Allah Ta'ala. And after some time he came out and then he says, inshallah is chahar diwari ke andar kabhi ghurbat nahi hoga, within these four walls will never be hunger, inshallah. But where were these viewers, Nazar? This is what we are looking for today. Allama Iqbal says, karo Zaye Badr Peda, Farishte Utrenge, Teri Madadku. Create the atmosphere of Badr. Create the atmosphere of Badr, and you will find Malaika descending to your assistance. You need to create it. You want the assistance to come. But that assistance will come, that assistance requires an atmosphere. Right? You tell someone. I want to start cultivating tomatoes in my farm, right? Well, I prepare the field then. You prepare the field, I'll help you out with the seeds. I'll help you out with the tractor, the seeds, the sowing, all that. But you do something at least. He doesn't want to prepare the field, he doesn't want to clear the bush out, all the thorns, the rubble, the stone. He's not doing a single thing. So now I want a tomato farm. I prepare the thing. So Allah Pak is saying the same thing. I can give you all these things here. But you prepare the field of your heart. Karo fiza-e badar paida. Create that atmosphere of badar. Farishte utrenge asman se. Malaika will descend. Like how they descended then, they can descend today also. Allah Pak is still the same. He hasn't changed. Auzubillah. Allah Pak is still the same. And he will remain the same. What power he had then, he's got it today. And he'll have it all the time. But the problem is with us, our focus, our nazar is not on Allah Ta'ala. There isn't a point, لا تقف عند حد. There's not a point where we get saturated. Not this nazar, and some more, and some more, and some more. So, the problem that we have got today is that we have to learn to turn our gaze back on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Learn to turn our gaze back on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We often hear that incident. There wasn't food in the house. The person went to the masjid and did 2 rakat namaz, and the chakki began to move on its own. Right. But what is the essence of that incident? The essence of the incident is the nazar is on Allah Ta'ala. The nazar is on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Right. Now the child is born in the house. Say, now which crèche you must send him, and which school you must send him. And, you know, life must continue. For life to continue, he must learn a professional career. And if the girl ever gets divorced, then how can she continue with life? First thing that you're planting into the child's heart is that If you don't have anything, you can't continue in life. Instead of creating dependence on Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make things work out for you. Right? Tawakkul, trust in Allah Ta'ala, nazar on Allah Ta'ala. The whole outlook, the whole drive is on this thing. Right? You don't have it, are you going to continue? How is life going to, how are you going to sustain life? See? So Islam doesn't say that you don't adopt the means. But then, the greatest mean is tawakkul. The greatest means is trusting Allah Ta'ala. The greatest means is having your nazar, having your sight focused on Allah Ta'ala. Now that you have taken out, you have truly given three divorces to His na'uzubillah. There is no such a thing. Trusting Allah Ta'ala is not a thing that's in your dictionary. It's out. So this is where we are going off. We don't have the nazar on Allah Ta'ala. We don't have it at all. Those that are seeming to be pious, or those that are impious, we don't have that concern. And that is why we don't enjoy the type of assistance. And I say again, repeatedly, that Hamara kaam to chalta hi hai barkat se. Our works, they gain fulfillment with barkat, with divine assistance. You put your nazar on Allah, you'll see how it comes. Carry on trying. See? Now you work with your calculations, okay? You'll do this and this property will come like this and then this will look after this property. It doesn't work out. Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari, Rahmatullah Ali, the famous orator in Pakistan, passed away long time ago, in 1967, passed away. So, very popular orator, and there will be thousands of people coming to his oration, discourses, thousands of people. And he was so beautiful in his oration that even Hindus would also come. So it was one gathering and he's addressing a mixed audience. So he challenged the crowd. Says, my Hindu brothers, you must keep silent, just let the Muslims answer. Gave them about 2-3 minutes, they couldn't answer. Alright. Then he says, alright, now my Hindu brothers, let them answer. Then in 2 seconds, one Hindu stood up and he gave the answer for it. So, Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari Sahib says, you see, ye Hinduo ke liye, is dunya mein bhi hisab, akhirat mein bhi hisab. In this world also there is hisab kitab, in the akhirat also hisab kitab. And Musliman ke na yaha par hisab, na akhirat mein hisab. We got no hisab this side, no hisab upstairs also. Okay. So, our whole nazar, our whole attention, whole focus must turn again to the right. Our focus must be there. Allah Pak will do it, Allah Pak will make akhirat. The first verse in the Quran Sharif, look at it. What's the first verse talking about? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. We believe in the unseen. Unseen help. We'll do this, Allah Pak will help. We'll do this, Allah Pak will help. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah gives an incident that the king's daughter, the only princess, you know, the heir to the throne, she fell ill. King employed the best physician of the day, not working out. Second level, hospitalized, sugar, blood, everything is being checked up. Condition is just deteriorating by the day. Right? Now the third level, after the hospitalization, everything is done, the doctors are over. Now third level, get the Tawiz men all, get the Amilin. No, Jadu, someone makes a jinnat, is that. Get all these people on, not working. Three levels have all been covered. The doctor has been covered. The hospital has been covered. The Quran also says, Halmi, what's that? Min raq, kya hai? Huh? Huh? Qila man raq. Koi dam karne wala hai. when you, everything is exhausted, one rock is ready, anyone to make dummy. So they, everything is exhausted. Now he exhausted all the means at that time, then it came to his mind, let me go and ask Allah. Let me go and ask Allah. He cried. And he comes to the house and he sees why the princess came up full, as though there was no illness. Right? So this is one direction that we have lost out. Again, I have to reiterate that it's not that we shouldn't employ asbab. Asbab is an asbab. Right? The whole heart must be on Allah Ta'ala. Right? The whole heart must be on Allah Ta'ala. See, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Jews tried to assassinate him, right? Sometime with a boulder to throw it over his Mubarak head, right? Sometime with poison. Comes all in the hadith. And sometimes with jadu, right? And Allah Pak saved him. In all these situations, Allah Pak saved him. But the hadith says when they did jadu on him, so da'a, summa da'a, summa da'a. Rasulullah carried on making dua and dua and dua. Until those two farishtas came, one at the head side and one at the feet side. Is asking the other farishta, what's wrong? Rajulun Mutbun, he's been affected with jadu, right? But this all came as a result of dua. So I don't say we don't adopt the asbab. Don't get me wrong. But definitely what we are missing out is dua. And many a times, the dua is more effective and more needed than all the asbab that we are adopting. Now we left the dua and we're just reverting to these type of things. As a result, then you'll have, you know, there won't be any limit to the type of asbab that you want to adopt. If it doesn't work with the tawis, then you go by sangoma. Then you go by anybody, any faith healer. Hindu, Christian, anybody is a faith healer. And then your iman is on the line then. A faith healer. Now, I don't say they can't do, they can do these things. Faith healing, they can do. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayh, he had fallen critically ill, seriously ill. And there used to be moments where he used to become totally unconscious. So they spoke to him, his murids and his students spoke to him, that there's one Hindu faith healer. And he won't use religion. It is because of some spiritual exercise that he has done that he can heal you. You know, with the power of imagination, he can heal you. He just turned it on. No, I don't ever think of taking me there. So anyway, he fell unconscious again. Now the students know that they're desperate. Our sheikh now, Busud, what must we do? And they took him to the healer. And he recovered well. He recovered very well. But he was very, very upset with his students. Why did you take me here? Why did you bring me here? I asked you not to bring. Why did you bring me here? Anyway, they made mafia and all that finished. At that time, everything happens. Right? Across all the lines. So he got talking with this faith healer. Okay, by how did you get this power? How did you earn this power? So I earned this power. Going against the nafs. See, one is you earn certain spiritual powers by opposing your temptations. You know, your temptations, carnal temptations, lust and all that. Oppose it. Go on. And that power, that strength and that ability, anybody can earn it. You continue doing it. You continue. You know, then you'll find that you have certain powers. You can see certain things, you can see certain malaika, you can extract an illness, whatever. But then you have to be very, very strong on yourself. You have to be very, very strong on yourself. Now this is not subject to religion. The spiritual power is not subject to religion. It's how much of that exercise that you do. What exercise you do, you build up that type of power. Right? Now, get confused here, they feel that this is subject to religion. because of him being a Hindu or a Christian or a Buddhist, therefore he's got this type of abilities. So this ability is not to do with religion. It is that spiritual exercise that you go through. The more you exercise yourself, the more you will have this type of abilities, like how you have a sorcerer or a magician. He's got certain powers, right? And the powers is with some training that he goes through. Some type of training. And or someone was showing me a picture in China, I don't know where it was, in China, but from one mountain to the other mountain, and that car has been driven on air. Magician, you can see it clear, it's a mountain pass, this side, that side, and the car is going, I don't know how many, 100, 200 meters, but how he did. It's all magic, sorcery. And you say because of that, the Buddhist is right. You won't say it's right. It is certain powers that they have built up because of their sorcery and their magic, right? So these people also, these faith healers, they have built up certain powers, right? And the powers is not because of the religion. It's because of them practicing self-restraint. They build certain powers. One of the things that, one of the abilities that you have afterwards is to extract an illness. With your power of concentration, actually pull off the illness. So when Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he recovered, so he asked him, how did you get this restraint? And he got talking to him, and then he says to him, accept Islam. He says, no, I can't. It's against my family tradition. So I told him, all right, you say you got your ability, your power, because of restraint, right? Now, is your nafs telling you to continue with Hinduism or not? Yeah, my nafs is telling you. Your power will then be diminished accordingly. Because your nafs is telling you, go this way. Your nafs is telling you, go this way. And you don't oppose your nafs, your powers are going to go. He thought of it, say, I got no other choice. Okay? Except it's Islam. But perhaps Allah wanted to give him tawfiq. Allah wanted to bless that Hindu to Islam. And he was made as a vehicle for that. Right? So, basically to the Khanqa for this purpose. Purification of the soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That Hasan Shah Sahib is instantly relating, you know. So he says that 950 rupees I can't accept because when I got that letter, you know, that letter of invitation, I just thought Allah Pak is making some arrangements for the fulfillment of my debt. So there was some desire for that. When there was a desire, I understood that it's not right for me to go into that job, into that, to accept that gift wasn't right for me. But that 15 rupees that I got, that was a hadiya masnoon, I didn't have any expectation from that person giving me 15 rupees. It came without me even desiring. So I understood that this was a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And then I have given you 7.5 because it is etiquette. Al hadiya, hadiyatu mushtarakatu. That we are together, we are traveling together, and I've got it. So though it's not compulsory and obligatory, but it's an etiquette. When I've got it, then I should be sharing it equally with you. So there's just 7.5 for you and 7.5 for me. Today we spoke a little bit about this ishraf, you know, desirous. And the cleanliness of the heart, cleanliness of the soul. As Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Ramadhan used to say, Ishraf kya cheez hai? Ishraf yahi hai. Jaang thang. Where am I going to get from? Get from this side here. This person will help me out. That person will give me something. So you are just aspiring, expecting, have expectations with people. This is wrong. Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah was traveling with Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah. So they had been invited by some Nawab thing of Rahmatullah. So Maulana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah asked Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah that we are going to go to this Nawab, and it is his system that he gives you some gift. In our istilah, we call it an envelope, right? It is his system that he gives you a gift. Now, does this fall under the purview of israf? Because we know it already that we're going to go there, and he's going to give you an envelope. Now, these are great giant buzrugs in India. Now, one is discussing with the other that we're going to go there and he's going to give an envelope. So, does this fall under israf or not? So, Muhammad Tamim Rahmatullah says that I never give it a thought. Muhammad Tamim is junior. But this doesn't prevent Maulana Sahan Puri from asking him. Right? So, he says that I didn't give this a thought at all. But now, just now, this moment, on account of your barakat, if we go to this person's invitation, and say, for example, he didn't give us that envelope, if you feel any discomfort, you don't feel good about it, hey, why didn't he give us, should have given us. Now, this comes under israf, because you're expecting it. And because it went contrary to your expectations, so you feel discomfort. You don't feel good about it. Why didn't he give it? It was his routine to give. And why didn't he give? Now, this is israf. Right? But if you don't feel any discomfort, he gave, you are comfortable. He didn't give, also you are equally comfortable. Both spiritually, mentally, you are completely comfortable. You are easy. You don't feel anything about it. Then this is not israf. He approved of the answer, though he didn't accept the gift afterwards, though he didn't practice it, he didn't receive that Nawab was offering, but he declined. But the fact is this, that he approved the answer. The answer is good, the answer is right. That now, sometimes you go to a person's home, right? So you have at heart that unke makan par jayenge, so he'll give me tea and biscuits, right? Right. That's understood. Now you won't call that israf. Or you went meal time. Right? And you know he's going to seat you to a meal, right? So this won't be called an israf. Right? And it's more especially when you've got that type of relationship. Right? See, Rasulullah had gone into that bagh of Abu Ayyub Ansari, radiallahu ta'ala. Right? The relationship was such. And the relationship was such that in the deal, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and he laid it out for them, right? Slaughtered that animal, the khajur, etc. And he laid it out for them. So that is that type of relationship. When you have that type of relationship, there isn't a problem. It's not called it. It doesn't come under israf. Here people again get confused, get mixed up. You can't drink tea because I had my heart. That's going to go to anybody's house, they're going to offer you some tea, some cold drink, something they'll offer you. But that's understandable. Right? But over and above the normal, now you have an expectation for that, now that is called israf. Right? The normal is he'll prepare the food, etc., all that for you, right? Now you think to yourself, hey, apart from the food, right? He will do us this favor, he will get us this right, he will do this for us. Now this is where you are bordering with israf. Right? But until that point, it's not israf. So in this brief day, this is what we need to endeavor. To bring this relationship with Allah Ta'ala. This nazar, this focus on Allah Ta'ala. Tubu ila Allahi jami'an. Anibu ila Rabbikum. See how many ayats of the Quran turn to your Rabb. Turn towards him. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So this is what we need to endeavor to build, the correct turn to Allah Ta'ala. That our nazar, our focus, our trust, our expectation must be from him. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.